The presentation of policy on the student manifesto did one thing and one thing only. I think it continued a journey that the Students' Union has been on for 3 or 4 years, where we've tried to be more meaningful stakeholders in our community. And what it does is make sure that several politicians who have been elected in recent elections pledged during the campaign that they would support improvements to student safety, student finance, student housing and student transport. And by passing the manifesto at Students' Union Council, successive officer teams and passionate student volunteers are mandated to make sure that the things that were promised to us are actually implemented post-election.
And for those students that aren't necessarily aware, what precisely is the Nottingham Students' Manifesto and how about did you go about organising it and making it come to be?
The Student Manifesto, in addition to hopefully being the NUS's campaign of the year, is a document that we've been lobbying politicians on based on face-to-face consultation with hundreds of students in the community. We did that work in October and November with a group of volunteers called the GE15 team, and we then had, on February the 5th, prospective parliamentary and council candidates from the Labour, Conservative, Green and United Kingdom Independence parties pledged to support its asks and work with the students' unions on the issues contained therein.
While we were down there at the Nottingham Student Manifesto launch, it was a fantastic evening talking to all the politicians, including the newly elected Lillian Greenwood MP. Just how much impact do you expect that now to have going forwards?
I think that it's going to have a tremendous impact in that quite a few of the elected council's manifesto priorities converge, align, or are exactly the same as what was in the student manifesto. And we've already seen quite a few of the commitments contained in both documents made into second or third stage priorities. For example, there's been a multi-million pound investment tabled to support the extension of cycle lanes in student areas. On March 24th, the leader of the council pledged to provide additional resources for the enforcement of disputes in private tenant arrangements between a student and their landlord. And we've also seen the local enterprise partnership, our careers service, and elected council officials work together on a graduate employment strategy and the creation of more internships locally for students. So I think it's already having a tremendous impact, and hopefully over the course of the next parliament and council term, we'll see even more of those commitments fully implemented.
Part of the Nottingham Student Manifesto, which we worked alongside Nottingham Trent University and New College Nottingham, was also just to engage students in the general election. Just from your experience as community officer here, probably being there on polling day and making sure that students turn out to vote, how effective do you think that was?
Yeah, I think the work that we've been conducting this year and the strategy has been, on the whole, largely effective. We have had record numbers of students actually involved and mobilised on our election day, in terms of up to 40 students going and doing door knocking in the student areas, Lenton, Kegworth, Beeston and Dunkirk. We actually trended locally with the hashtag Generation Vote, I Voted Because on the day. And at several polling stations we had the tellers and counters remark that they'd never seen so many students and that their turnout in general at those polling stations was the highest it's ever been. In addition to that, the troika of students' unions, if you will, us, New College Nottingham and Trent, were one of only 7 students' unions awarded £3,000 by the NUS for their activities in the campaign across the country. And I think it represents a real big model of how students can use elections as opportunities to have their voices heard. I think now, if we find from the figures that we have a higher 18 to 24 student turnout than we've ever seen, student issues and those relevant to those in higher education might be more of an important battleground for the next set of elections.
And just to go back to the fact that the student manifesto has now been passed into union policy as a consequence of the last union council meeting, as you announced in the scrutiny panel hearing that I've been gratefully reading online, does that mean that some of the policies of the union are actually going to be limited? They're just going to be focused on housing and transport and security. Are those the areas that the union are really going to be focusing on?
In essence, not necessarily. The passing of the policy merely says that where we find that there is energy or passion amongst student volunteers who are in and around the union for the next 3 years, that they should be facilitated in their local lobbying on those issues. So that doesn't necessarily say that the next community officer has to get a bunch of students and lobby the council on an enforced start date for the letting of student properties or a compulsory landlord's register, but where there are issues about standards within housing that a strategy group could form and be supported by union staff and officers and then campaign on the issue. And we should also remember that union officers are also bound by a whole host of other policies, and I guess they'll have to continue juggling those extensive priorities as there are over 50 policies in the Union Council policy file, and they also have to buzz away at both their manifesto objectives and any issues that arise ad hoc.
So is there any danger it might just become slightly symbolic then? We're just passing this to be just to show we're supporting the student manifesto.
Yeah, as I said, in Students' Union Council, there is definitely that danger. As I said earlier, we're only going with the energy and where the passionate students are. And if we see that there is no energy and no passionate students on the issue, there is a fear that these priorities could be dropped. However, I think that there is a value in dropping things that aren't the stirrers of great passion amongst the student body, because they could potentially no longer be issues that are immensely relevant to students. And one of the other points that I raised in my student manifesto speech was that we have to acknowledge that we as students have a limited life cycle of 3 years in our local areas, and the issues do change with every incoming and outgoing cohort of students. So if the student manifesto does become irrelevant and it does sit on a shelf, I think that's because the issues contained therein are no longer a great currency to students.
Without wishing to cause offence, you are now, of course, a lame duck community officer. Sam Peake has been elected to replace you. How closely have you been working with him, and what's he been saying about what he'd like to do in regards to the student manifesto next year?
Sam co-presented the student manifesto policy to council with me, and the themes of his manifesto are exactly the same as the student manifesto ones. So he's going to be pursuing fairness in the community, fairness in housing, safety and transport, as he said very eloquently in his campaign video. And he's very optimistic about forming strategy teams to work with local third sector organisations to do things that are wider than simply our student body that are contained within our manifesto.
You are now coming to the end of your tenure as community officer, but what can we look forward to in the final couple of months from your time in office?
Yeah, so I think I have been slightly criticised this year for being visionary and broader in scope, and some people want me to focus on domestic issues, if you will. So I'm spending my last couple of months looking into and lobbying on the issue of rollover credit, getting some clarity in organisational understanding of the hopper bus, travel and transport in general, and also trying to build a sufficient training programme and hand over resources for the next officer team so that the relationships I and Harry and the union as an organisation have built continue to exist in the future, so we can easily lobby politicians on the things that we're asking of them. So I guess I am analysing and strategising for future community officers to worry about.